Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 8th December 2024 Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, 2nd edition. We are at lesson 19, page 103. Namo Bensi Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Me Lo Fo. Namo Me Lo Fo. Namo Me Lo Fo. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha. Shakawali su Atraha gacantu devata Saddhamman munirajasa Sunantu sakamokkadang Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atase bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhase Namo atase bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhase Namo atase bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhase Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chattari purisa yukani purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam ketam lokasati sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated and we shall continue from where we stop. Turn to page 103. Sometimes being sensitive to say, I'm really sorry and please forgive me if I have knowingly or unknowingly caused you any misunderstanding can go a long way to make people feel good and happy, as opposed to engaging in unfruitful argument that can lead to further misunderstanding and enmity later on. So sometimes we need to understand a life situation in order to resolve it amicably. We no longer try to be right. In fact, most people land themselves into problem is because they hold on to their views and they try to be right. When you try to be right, you end up arguing. No point. If you really can resolve it by saying that I'm sorry if I've caused you any misunderstanding. Yeah. That can go a long way, yeah, to make people feel good. Then your this type of gentle, pleasant and appropriate good speeches can go a long way, yeah, to help you tone down the situation. And the people who hear it. Also, will tone down and say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, I'm also to be blamed. Don't worry. Then you can ask, is there anything that I can help you resolve? If you need to go through any repair or what, I have insurance. You can claim my insurance. And that one can really help tone down the situation. So use only pleasant, gentle, and very appropriate and appreciative speeches to speak tactfully with wisdom, kindness, love, and compassion to help others and to bring about more harmony and happiness. So this is the right communication, the right way to actually talk to people. Then there are people who are in the service industry. They are also very important people, where they are the first line that meet the public. So they should learn to speak well on the phone or when you receive emergency call from people in need of help. Or when you attend to people who come to you for help, especially the counter service. So those who are attending to emergency phone calls and services must have the ability to use gentle, pleasant, and good speeches to calm people down and to assist them to handle the situation calmly and appropriately. Word like, may I help you? And how can I be of assistance to you? A very useful and appropriate opening approach or speeches. Understanding the importance of applying the four right effort to purify our action, speech, and thought process is also very important. And this is also a very important aspect of the whole cultivation. That's why cultivating the four right effort is very important, especially the third and the fourth. There are also three very important purification process needed for cultivation, and they are purification of morality, or in Pali is called sila visuddhi. Visuddhi is purification. Then purification of mind, citta visuddhi. Then there is the third one, purification of view, ditti visuddhi. These three types of purifications or visuddhi are part of the seven stages of purification or satta visuddhi as taught by the Buddha. So next section is 1.7. We will go through the seven stages of mind purification. Seven is satta, satta, seven. Visuddhi means seven stages of purification. So the seven stages of purification or satta visuddhi as taught by the Buddha are as follow. Sila visuddhi is the first one, means purification of morality or virtue via our ability to keep our precepts so that we do not entanglize ourselves with the karmic consequence, so that we can purify our morality to be free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So in order to keep our precepts, we must have this right view with regards to the law of karma. Then we should apply the advice of the Buddha, follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, then to cultivate goodness. So avoiding all evil is to undertake the precept from committing all this evil. That's why under the precepts it always starts with Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami. Means I undertake the training to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living me. So undertake the training rule means we train ourselves to keep our precept. It's very important. To do that, you must have mindfulness and you must know what constitutes evil. How can you abstain from committing all this evil? Means causing harm or cause to kill. Means undertake the training rule to abstain from causing harm or killing fellow living beings. And the training is not easy. And we must understand, without the evil root, you cannot harm, you cannot kill. Especially the evil root of selfishness, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. Of course, the outcome of these two is delusion, sakadidi. We believe we exist, that's why we become selfish, we become emotional. Then we give rise to negativity of mind state. That's how this sila visuddhi of purification of morality need understanding, need mindfulness. To be mindful of our mental intention, the mind state that has arisen. So initially is understanding the basic essential dhamma with regards to the teaching, means right view with regards to the law of karma, the moral causation, then what causes evil, how the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion comes to be, and how we need to expand on our understanding of these three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Greed basically is very broad in its meaning and very wide based. Greed doesn't mean only greediness. In fact, all your craving, your desire, your selfishness, they are your greed. When you have possessiveness, craving, desire, grasping, clinging, all this manifests from the evil roots of greed. And behind greed is the sakkayaditti, self-delusion. That's why without self-delusion, there is no greed, no envy, no jealousy, no hatred, nothing. So we need to contemplate all this until very clear. Then why did we hold on to the idea or concept of a personality, an ego within? That's why we do not have the clear understanding, the direct seeing, to insight into phenomena, to realize that the form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. And this one is not real, not what you think. But it is related to us because it is the product of the karmic nature. Because the form and mind arise through the karmic nature. It's a vehicle and a tool for us to come to this existential world. So this form and mind, which is not a permanent unchanging entity, is related to us. That's why we have to take care of this flaw. This flaw, according to the Buddha, is subject to karma. That's why the Buddha say, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. That we is the form of mind, which means the Buddha never contradicted himself. He taught us non-self, anatta, not a permanent unchanging entity. So when he On the one hand, when it comes to the law of karma, he is referring to the form and mind, which is not a permanent unchanging entity, which is non-self. That's why that one exists, but it's not you. It's not a permanent unchanging entity, but it's a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come. And that one is subject to karma. That's why you cannot allow that form and mind to simply arise a wrong thought or delusion to condition the karmic negativity, because we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So this purification of morality or sila visuddhi is very important. When you understand all these essential dhamma, then you undertake the training rule to abstain from all this, means you keep your precept well. You are purifying yourself by avoiding all evil. Then do good means cultivate wholesomeness, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right way to live your life, so that there is no negativity. We are following the advice of the Buddha, which is Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyodhapanam etang buddhana sasana. This is the advice of all Buddha. All evil is to be avoided. Do good or purify your mind wherever there are conditions. Yeah. Then cultivate wisdom. So this first sila visuddhi, purification of morality, is relatively easier. Then we come to the second one, which is citta visuddhi, purification of mind or content of consciousness. This one is more difficult, especially the three evil roots. We are an awareness of how it arises, to condition one into negativity, then how to root them out via wisdom to develop the wholesome state of mind. So to purify the mind is to purify the content of consciousness, so that the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion is not there. This one needs mindfulness, awareness, to be aware. So when you are aware that the evil roots are there, then you have to apply the five ways to overcome unwholesome action, speech and thought process. That's why the four right efforts also come in. And the first right effort is right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action that has a reason. Means initially you don't have the mindfulness, you don't have the Dhamma understanding, that's why you keep on arising them. Then when you start to develop the understanding of the basic essential Dhamma teaching, then you start to attend to it. But you know that they have a reason, but you don't know how to resolve it. You don't know how to abandon it. So the Buddha taught five ways. He said, first, think of the opposite wholesome thought, so that the unwholesome thought of greed, hatred and delusion cannot arise. But that one is just thought-based, temporary. Then the second one is, think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. The consequence can be understood easily. Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. So choose to be happy. If you hold on to the wrong thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, it will condition your negativity of karma, karmic negativity of action, speech and thought process. So this will bring about karmic downfall. So you ask yourself your life, do you want to allow this to happen? If not, then determine to abandon it, not to allow it to arise. Means you must see the danger in holding on to it, then you will relinquish it. Yeah. So how to relinquish it? You have to use the third way. The Buddha said, we don't have to do anything. We just have to relax, maintain awareness, and be with the emotion that have arisen. If there is anger, hatred, or fear, or envy, or jealousy, you just silence everything. Develop mindfulness to be with it. Then you realize, as long as you don't allow it to continue the thinking, the sankhara activity, you don't allow that wrong thought to continue to proliferate or manifest, then by itself, it slows down and finally ceases. Then you realize a very profound understanding that all this mind state of anger, hatred, delusion, including selfishness, covetousness, grief, possessiveness, all of your craving, wanting, they are not intrinsic. They are dependent, originating mind state, born of wrong view. That's why when you don't do anything, there is no more evil, no more wrong thought, no wrong view. Then that itself is your true mind, awareness nature. And there is a purifying process, a purifying force and energy. So when you remain silent and peaceful, the very flowering of that wrong thought is the very ending of that wrong thought. So the root cause of the arising of the wrong thought no more, then it ceases. Then you realize they are not intrinsic within your nature. Means they arise due to wrong view, wrong thought. They are byproduct of your true nature. Then you realize by not doing anything, by having the understanding to be with that thing, that it ceases. So when it ceases, you realize a very profound wisdom, understanding. If anger is not me, craving, desire, possessiveness also is not me, then I don't have a problem. I just have to understand this and do not allow the thought process, the wrong thought, with the wrong content of consciousness to delude me. That's why to purify the mind of the wrong thought, the evil roots, is very easy. Don't have to do anything. Then when you realize that tranquil, peaceful state of mind, and realize that your true mind has none of all this, then you realize this is peace, this is tranquility, this is stillness, this is without stress. And this is what enlightenment is all about. Sorrowless, complete tranquility and stillness, no ego, no sankhara activity, no thought, nothing. Stay with that pure nature. Yeah. Then that profound understanding is very important. Means all these wrong thought, mind state that has the evil root, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, impermanent. They come and they go, dependent on condition, they arise. When condition cease to be, they cease to be. Then our true nature, true mind, has got none of all this. That's why the third way is very powerful. It is. But then, you need to move on to the fourth way to this, develop the wisdom, to really live it. Otherwise, every time you go into life, through your sense experience, you stir your mind again. Then all these wrong thoughts, evil roots, they manifest again. Then you have to silence your mind or go somewhere, quiet yourself down, to experience the peace. So that one is not so useful. The one that is useful is the fourth way, the Buddha said. You must trace the origination factor. Then through the understanding of the origination factor, retrospectively, reverse it through the understanding. So how do we trace? When we are mindful, the Buddha said under the Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the five mental hindrance, he said, when you are mindful and aware, you will come to know how the unarisen evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, or wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action come to be. Because you will come to know it's through one of your senses. Either you see something, or you hear something, or you recollect through memory your phobia, your insecurity, scars of memory, or whatever that has been haunting you. Then you realize, upon contact of mind with the sense basis and the respective sense data, it triggers off the consciousness. Then because of your wrong view, your habitual tendency, it straight away input a wrong content and stir your mind. Then when you saw that, you had to inquire, why must I live life this way? Why must I continue to stir my mind, react to sense experience, and be afflicted? Why can't I accept things as they are, like what the Buddha said? See things as they are means accept the reality, like the Buddha said. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind the nature's law that governs life and existence. Condition like that, things will be like that. And people are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Violent people do violent things. So when you can see things as they are and accept them for what they are, then you are at peace with all phenomena. You are at peace with all sense experience. And that's how you reverse your wrong view. Means you straighten your view to learn to accept the reality of the moment, to accept what is, because that is the reality. Reality decides life, not your way, which is not nature's way. You want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. That's why purification of mind need the third and fourth way to develop the wisdom to enable you to free. So this wisdom, when it develops, it becomes yoniso manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Manasikara is the attention, the moment of attention. Yoniso is wisdom. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. And the Buddha said, you need to have this. Yoniso manasikara, to attend to life. So whenever this wisdom manifests, then it will tell you, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that. See things as they are. Living beings are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things. Then this will stabilize, become the wisdom that will prompt you at the moment of sense. Then you realize you become more and more peaceful, more and more quiet. Not like last time. Every time react and stir your mind. Then you realize you can be at peace with almost all life situation and every moment of sense experience. Then you realize your mind does not stir and react to sense experience like before. Means you have more moment of peace, more moment of tranquility, stillness, space in your mind. You no longer get agitated, angry, emotional, you no longer react and create all the heedless thinking no more. That's how from Sila Visuddhi, we go into Chitta Visuddhi and we develop purification of mind. It's only after you can purify your Sila, then you can move into content of consciousness, purify your content of consciousness or mind. Then when you have this ability to purify your mind, then only you can move on to the third one, purification of view, to straighten your view. Because after that, that wisdom that arises is how the cultivator actually transform. You straighten your view to develop the wisdom to transform. So from Chitta Visuddhi, purification of content of consciousness, when you can root them out, then you have wisdom, then you can purify your view. Then the next time you see things, you hear things, smell, taste, tactile feel or think or anything at the moment of sense experience, that yoniso manasikara will prompt you, that wisdom will prompt you, and that is your view has changed, your wisdom has developed. So this is purification of view, ditti visuddhi. So purification of view is developed so as to arise the right view with regards to the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, and the paticca samuppada, to cultivate the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. Know the difference between right and wrong view, to develop the true understanding according to reality, and to see things as they are. So this is how the three stages of purification, Sila Visuddhi, Chitta Visuddhi, followed by Ditti Visuddhi. Ditti is view, purification of views. Morality, content of consciousness, subsequently only you can purify your ditti or views. Okay, we move on. The fourth stage of purification is purification of overcoming doubt. This one in Pali is called Kanka Vitarana Visuddhi. Means you will have no more doubt, because you have overcome the 10 defilements of insight that binds the cultivator to complacency and misguide the belief of realization. So overcoming doubt is not so easy. Because the 10 defilements of insight are very powerful defilements that can trap cultivator of the way. So unless you have gone through and developed the wisdom not to be deceived by them, then you will not fall into that trap. Otherwise, you will have a lot of doubt. Because what happens is, initially as you develop the cultivation, most people know that sati is very important, mindfulness is very important. Then they diligently cultivate with faith, with saddha, virya. Then they develop the daily mindfulness until very stable. Then until suddenly, like throughout the day, they are mindful, non-stop, mindful. Then they develop a lot of happiness, a lot of joy, which is good, pity. But then they become complacent. They thought they have transformed. They thought they already developed the enlightenment. But actually, that is just the beginning. You have to make use of that stability of daily mindfulness to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to see things as they are, to realize the wisdom. But before that happened, the thought will tell them, hey, you remember? the book, right? He said, you are ever mindful, constantly meditating. This must be it. And then the thought will deceive you. You must be at least a Sotapanna or Sakadagami. Or sometimes they may think they are already Arahant. The Arahant is ever mindful, means stable. Throughout the day, they are mindful, they are aware. No more wrong thought. But then, after they become complacent, they become arrogant. Then they think they are ready, they want to share. Then they encounter problem as they do that. Yeah? There is no real stability or wisdom and understanding yet. Then when they are confronted with problem situation and when people question them, they realize they cannot handle. Then because of their complacency, they realize that their mindfulness is not able to stabilize to that state like before anymore. Then they start to lose confidence. Then doubts start to arise. So all this can happen. So the defilement of insight that lead to complacency can actually trap a cultivator. That's why this stage, fourth stage of purification, purification of overcoming doubt, to root them out once and for all, is very important. You must not be complacent. Then you must understand the 10 defilements of insight. Like sometimes you see certain psychic phenomena happening when you are doing the meditation. It is a result of samatha practice. Like suddenly you can levitate, you can see light, then darkness can become like broad daylight. Then you can also, if you train, read people's mind and do all those psychic ability. And all these are defilement of insight that will trap you without realizing that only wisdom free you can attach to all this fantastic mind state, thinking that you have transformed. Now you can levitate, you can read mind, you can have psychic phenomena. Then especially those who see nimitta, they get very excited, they play with it. So nimitta are like when you meditate, when your mind calms down, the manifestation of light. And this light, if you have the ability to concentrate and focus, you can play with it and it can manifest and make you think you have transformed. That's why this stage, many cultivators get trapped. They call it the 10 defilements of insight. So be careful, this one. Then the next one is purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and what is non-path or not path. So this one is called Magamaga Jnanadasana Visuddhi. So to purify and understand what is path and what is non-path is very important. So I have come out with the understanding and mark it down for you all. The easiest way to realize non-path is non-path leads to delusion and suffering. If whatever you realize, if it doesn't lead to peace, clarity, non-negativity, harmony, and stillness of mind, born of wisdom, then that is non-path. So non-path always bring about delusion and suffering. It will make you feel like arrogant. Your pride is like enhanced. Then your ego also enhanced. Then the non-path can trigger off a lot of delusion. Means you deludedly believe you have become enlightened, you have transformed. You are already various stages of sainthood. So enlightenment, you think, is already in you. And you hold on to all this. So to purify by knowledge and vision of what is path and what is non-path is to have the silent mind, the awareness nature, to see clearly, to understand clearly. If it's path, it will lead to clarity, non-negativity, harmony, peace and stillness of mind, born of wisdom. Your yonisok manaskara is always there. Whereas non-path, or we call it the external wai tao, external cultivation, means the wrong cultivation. They always have delusion within, and finally it end up in suffering. It end up in building up your sakayadity more and more, your ego, your pride, and your craving, desire. So all this is to guide and help cultivate the way. Then the six stages of purification is also very important. Purification of knowledge and vision of the way. When you know what is power and what is non-power, then you know how to cultivate. Then after that, you have to purify by knowledge and vision of the way. It means patipada jnana dasana visuddhi. It means true cultivation. Jnana dasana means the direct knowledge and vision of the reality, to see things as they are. So purification by knowledge and vision of the way means after understanding the path, one cultivates accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Means you continue with the cultivation, knowing that it's only wisdom that's free. And when you are on the right path, it's always tranquil, peaceful. Then there is clarity. You are always with your true mind, your silent mind, in pure awareness, nature. So after you have understood what is path, then you cultivate accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Means to awaken to the jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Then you will insight into phenomena. You will awaken. You will have the ability to see things as they are and understand what all these are. Then after the sixth purification, you will end up with the last or the seventh purification, which is purification by knowledge and vision, no longer of the way. Means the wisdom is already with you. Means you have awakened to the direct seeing. You have realized the truth. You have the wisdom to see things as they are. You have comprehended the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, the universal characteristics, etc. So here, purification by knowledge and vision means no more the way, no more cultivating like before. So here, the realization or enlightenment born of the direct seeing, the direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought, means the silent mind really have the ability to insight into phenomena and to awaken to the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkang, and anatta. So these seven stages of purification, cultivator of the way will have the ability to go through, and they will understand all this. Okay, then I read on. Since meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, via heedfulness or sati, as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced fantastic meditation experiences, and one may think that one is already enlightened, but if one's actions, speech, and thought process are still very crude, with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check, what type of enlightenment is that? Is it in compliance with the Noble Eightfold Path factor? Do you have the embodiment of all these Noble Eightfold Path factor? Do you have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action? Right way of communication. And also right livelihood. You know how to live your life in accordance. Then you constantly can rise the four right effort to purify, to transform. Then your sati, samasati and samasamadhi is always with you. Very stable. So if you check all this, then you will know that your cultivation, whether it follows the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha or not. Well, according to the Buddha, the fourth noble truth, he said, if you cultivate under this fourth noble truth, you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path and have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path factor that make you a noble ones, which means you are an enlightened being, very noble in all aspects of life, means having the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path practice. And that is how you should check. Because if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to have all these Noble Path factors, the embodiment of it, then you are not the, what they call, enlightenment that the Buddha described. You have not realized that. Whatever you realize could be something else, but definitely not what the Buddha has taught, and not in accordance with what the Buddha has taught. That's why the check is, do you have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path factor? Because without that, you cannot be a noble one, an enlightened being, an Arya. An Arya is an enlightened being that has all the Noble Path factors of the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. That's why they are very noble in their understanding. They have right view, right understanding. Then they are very noble in the way they arise their thought process, their action and speech, the way they communicate, the way they act, and the way they arise their thought process. Yeah. Then the way they live their life. Then they constantly cultivate the four right effort to constantly purify and transform. Yeah. Then they are ever mindful, constantly meditative. So these are the things that will show up. Okay, then we move on to part two. Part two is about the 31 plane of existence, or what we call rhymes of existence. So this one is according to a Theravada tradition. They describe the 31 planes or rhymes of existence where living beings are born into after you die. Then the Mahayana summarizes it into six Dhamma rhymes, or what we call the six path, Liu Tong Lun Hui, means those who are born into samsara, they summarize the 31 plane into six. So for those who have the understanding, they will know the first five is the same. Whereas the sixth rhyme, they call it the heavenly rhyme. And this heavenly rhyme constitute all the Deva rhyme, the Brahma rhyme, and the formless rhyme that the Theravada tradition subdivide into. So the balance of the 26 rhyme, 6 Deva rhymes, 16 Brahma rhyme, and 4 formless rhyme. So total 26 plus the 5, 31 is the same. Eh? But they prefer to call it the heavenly rhyme, Tian Fa Jie. Yeah. So Tian or heavenly include the Deva rhyme, the Brahma rhyme, and the formless rhyme. They are all within the heavens, heavenly rhymes. Yeah. Now I read through, you will understand better and more easily. The 31 planes of existence or rhymes of living beings. First is the immaterial world or Arupa Loka. These are the formless rhyme, consists of the 4 formless rhyme. They are accessible to those who pass away while meditating in the formless jhana, Arupa jhana, or sometimes they call it the 5th, 6th, and 7th, and 8th jhanas. Yeah. Then those born within the form rhyme, the 5 material world, or Rupa Loka, consists of 16 Brahma rhyme, whose inhabitants, the Brahma, experience extremely refined state of mind or mental states, especially the 4 Brahma Vihara. These rhymes are accessible to those who have attained at least the same level of form jhana, means 1st jhana, 2nd jhana, 3rd jhana, and the 4th jhana, and who have thereby managed to temporarily suppress their hatred and ill will. They are said to possess extremely refined bodies of pure light. The highest of this rhyme is the pure airborne, and they are accessible only to those who have attained the sainthood stage of non-returner or the 3rd stage of anagami awakening. The 5 material world and the immaterial world together constitute the higher heavenly rhymes. Then there is the sensual of Kama Loka. Kama here is K-A-M-A, which is sensual. Loka is world. So the sensual consists of 11 rhymes, which experience both pleasurable and non-pleasurable sensual mind state. It is dominated by the 5 senses. 7 of these rhymes are favorable destination, and it includes the 6 Deva rhymes and our own human rhyme. Whereas the lowest of the sensual rhyme are the 4 woeful rhyme, or we call it the bad destination, which include the woeful rhyme of the demons, animal, petas, and ghosts, or ghosts, plus hell rhyme. The enlightenment means mind that has clarity and wisdom and is no longer deluded. Then genuine wisdom is with complete clarity and understanding. Then the 3rd noble truth, cessation of form and mind leading to Nibbana, means the form and mind cease to be. Means our ordinary form and mind, that one will come to a complete cessation. That's why Nibbana or enlightenment in the here and now is the complete cessation of form and mind. The mind ceases. The mind realizes itself and ceases. And because of that, that form and mind that went in will realize what they call the Nibbanic Dhatu, or we call it the unconditioned, the realization of Nibbana, which is the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. It's not a mind state at all. It's just complete cessation. That's why they call it Paramang Sukhang, the highest peace, where there is no agitation at all, complete stillness. And cease. Even the pure awareness also no more. That's the beauty of it. Okay? After that, we go on to part 3. Part 3, report on meditation. So there is a question. I have followed Brother Teo's class for almost 19 weeks by now. This one is, I remember, by a sister. She is very good. He said, I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. See, this is a sign of progress. And I can sit for 1 hour and feel light-hearted with more clarity. See, these are the characteristics of the true mind. Joy, calmness, and peace within. Most of the time, my mind is a lot quieter and less heedless, means the heedless thinking, like no more. There is very much less wandering thought or heedless thinking. Then when faced with problems, she also know the mind is not so afflicted like before. So this is a sign of good progress. Then I reply. Oh, sorry, there is a second part to it. She described. He said, my daily mindfulness has improved. She can know it. That's why I say the cultivator will describe it, because they understand. They go through. When you are in sati, you will know. Then she said, now when I encounter a problem, the mind is not so easily stirred like before. I am now able to be more aware of my own mental intention, especially the negative one with the three evil roots. See, this is how you transform. And with this clarity of awareness, I'm able to cultivate the four right effort to abandon and to prevent the arising, to promote and to refine upon the various mind states with greater ease. If you can go through this, means you are on the right path, you have done well, means you have seen the way, you will realize the truth sooner or later. Then the third part is, after cultivating the daily mindfulness, when I encounter sloth and torpor, I can just accept the reality of that state of sloth and torpor without any intention to do away with it. Means she is not agitated like before. She don't have wrong view to like want to push it away. No more. And this acceptance allow my silent mind in sati to take over and remain in peaceful awareness within. After a while, I can experience a shift of consciousness that make my mind bright and clear with a lot of joy and virya. Then the sloth and torpor are gone. See, this is what a good cultivator will come to realize. All this will happen very naturally. That's why my reply, Brother Teo, these are very good meditative results, born of correct meditative cultivation and right understanding. That's why I congratulated her. I said, Mahasadhu to you, sister. Always remember, whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it can bring about more clarity of mind with inner awareness and peace, to live life with a lot of happiness, joy, and understanding, then that is the right meditation. The meditation as taught by the Buddha will also enable you to develop all the wisdom and virtue or wholesomeness born of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to live the noble life of a noble one. So these are all very beautiful explanation and understanding. And to truly live life, the mind must be in silent inner awareness to be with the moment, to experience all the beauties and wonders of life. You can do that, my nature will sadhu you. Most living beings are heedless because they think a lot, and they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life. That is, they don't really live life. To be at peace with every moment of sense or experience is genuine wisdom. To have the clarity of mind and right understanding of wisdom, to know how to act and live life to the fullest, meaningfully, is most important. See, all this can be done. Huh? Finish, huh? Okay, we stop here. Huh? We will end here. Relax. Maintain awareness. Stabilize the awareness. And allow the mind to settle down. Until you realize the true mind. Then stay at the heart. Develop what we call trust. Trust our nature to develop the understanding and the internal movement until that nature detects the gateway on itself. Then a lot of things will happen. You don't have to do anything. You just relax, maintain awareness, and allow the nature to move. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. So now you'll continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever Dhamma question or question on meditation that you may have. Then we can also share about Dhamma in daily life, based on your cultivation and all those things. Okay.
Radio, what I can say is because my wound, there are a few rounds, I would say in one time, they may be 1 or 2 days in that instance when I get the wrong food. So actually, I discovered 1-2 days ago actually that the thing is growing deeper into my flesh. Even the surface doesn't look different. Because I lately for 1 week, I can feel pain if I stand there in the kitchen for like 10-20 minutes. And then I never go and explore until last 2 days. I go and explore. I discover the skin that surface. Actually, I have a rounding and the tail. The tail all the time is giving me problem. But lately, I discover outside of the tail, further away from the tail, out to the healthy skin, is okay. But then I explore yesterday that when I press it in, that's where the pain come up with. So I think it's growing deeper into my skin, into the direction of
the... You should
the...
check with the doctor that did the surgery.
So I don't want to go back to Western because Western, they already give me so much of antibiotic, but it doesn't really work. That's why I have to go for asthma. Yesterday I go and see homeopathy. But I also discovered coincident Friday night also I met an accident where people knocked my back of my car. When the three cars involved, I'm the first car in the front. So when that thing happened, because I also got experience being knocked by people in the past. So the other two guys also very young, like 34, 38. So we all are very calm and then we go and make police report. So I'm still handling it. So it's not really bothering me, but I discover maybe for 1 week, certain time I got this worry attack of the wound.
Oh, okay.
It's really stirred my mind, and
But
I
the
don't want to.
homeopathy, what did they tell you? What did they advise
Homeopathy
you?
doctor didn't say anything. He gave me all those things and just say that it will clear. He also not seems to be interested in my story.
Oh, okay.
So I just try out from today. So I don't know, but I know these few days I really not really have the mood to. So I know that because it had been 5-6 months from
Yeah,
all the
it's a
time.
bit long. Yeah, a bit
Yeah.
long. Yeah.
Yes. And I also actually when I go back for follow up with orthopedic, I did tell the doctor, I say y'all should dig a bigger piece of the flesh. Then the doctor who is not operating me, you know, GH, they always or different doctors say, oh, when it is the flesh is not liquid dice, we cannot operate. He say like that. But I came across my neighbor just told me today. She said last time her daughter, they dig a very big. My one is like a heel and they just pick the tip of the heel, the pick of the heel. But my neighbor, she said her daughter in private hospital, they dig into it like a, what do you call that? Like the Lombong Bije Timah, the mine landing, a thin mining like that. They said they dig inside very big. So my that's why they dig only the tip. So now and furthermore, initially I have a routing and the tail. So the tail, you even no matter how, because when the outside heal, I thought it heal. I took eggs and then you know some seafood. Then the pus come out. Then I become very stringent and more. Now I already do to the maximum in my diet. So I feel like I have this. I know I have this attack at certain time. I really say, don't know what to do with the wound. So
but,
I still hold
but
on,
it's
cling
still
on.
bearable. Huh?
Yeah, it's bearable, but I also.
Do you feel that it's not completely healing?
It's definitely. In fact, I
Oh,
can feel it
then
grow.
you have to go and seek maybe second opinion or go back to that surgeon that did the thing for you, because you have to tell the where did you do it? UH?
Oh, GH.
Or GH. You've got to go back and tell them you are not feeling good. Then see what the specialist has to say. Maybe they will do another diagnosis.
Yes, many is telling me they go for first round up, then second round procedures, you know. So
It
I
should
am.
be continued by the same hospital, but they will take responsibility and look into it.
So now I just started homeopathy and I just have a try and see.
Okay.
Because
Okay,
the
we'll
doctor last
monitor.
time, when the first time, I go for x-ray, I ask them why x-ray. They say they want to see how deep is the thing. They say sometimes too long, it will grow into the bone. When the first time the orthopedic doctor see me, I along the way, because they also post me to skin specialist where I also ask, you know, then from skin they refer me. So I do ask, they do say things like that. That's why they want to do x-ray to see how deep the thing inside, something like this.
Yeah,
so
X-ray should be able to see clearer. Yeah.
Yeah, they also might have a ultrasound, which also see more on the tissue side. Ultrasound also. So I have this attack these few days. Certain time I feel very, very down. So I was thinking, I understand this sort of worry. Never in my life, brought here for health reason. Because people who don't know me, they tell me, you know, eat everything. They say, eat first, eat first. They don't know my character. I have ulcer in my mouth. I also will eat one. But come to this wound, I cannot afford to play with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, you need to be serious about all this.
Yes, they don't know what I've gone through. So they just say, never mind, can eat, you know, which... I used to be very carefree in terms of my food, you know. If I have ulcer, I don't care. I eat curry also, but come to this, I
yeah, this
become
one
very...
affecting your healing. Yeah, the healing is quite long already.
Yes,
Then,
since July.
Yeah, you need to monitor. Maybe you can also try the forgiveness one for your leg again. Ask for
Brother, I do.
forgiveness.
Now
Then,
I do the chanting. I do the Da Bei Zhou in the Sanskrit way.
Oh, that one very useful. Yeah.
I do every day.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
In
That
fact,
one will help.
yeah, brother. In
Yeah.
fact, indirectly, therefore, indirectly, this wound because
Yeah.
someone highlight to me. It so making me to do the puja. I might not do morning puja, but sometimes I do late morning or afternoon puja or whatever. So it's also become a routine for me. That is the positive side
Yeah,
of the
definitely.
wound.
Yeah.
I also like to chant this because I can chant much faster than the normal our Da Bei Zhou. Because my one is, I think I read lah, I don't sing ah. So I also quite enjoy doing the chanting.
Oh, that's good. You can find interest in doing the chanting, no matter what way you chant, as long as you feel good, your faith and all those things, that it will help. Yeah.
Yes. At times I quite like to chant. This is like Yimi type. It's not rather than the Mahayana type.
That one is more soothing, more conducive. Yeah.
Yes. That is the plus side from this happening of the wound. It bring me back into my puja, and of course, the ask for forgiveness is become a routine also.
Very good, very good.
That is what I can know about it lah. So
When
basically
you
I think
meditate, how you feel? The leg part.
meditate same, but I find that
Does it have any pulling sensation or like tactile thing to draw your attention there? Or you
no
don't
no
feel anything? You don't feel
when
anything.
No, when I'm in sitting position, it will be better. But I know,
Oh, okay.
those. I in fact, I also stop my physical exercise activity for the leg to fully
For
rest.
the time being, you should. You should.
I also stop. But for meditation, if I meditate in the house, won't be long lah. Sometimes 20 minutes lah. But
Yeah.
I find I can hear, clock clicking. All these things
Oh,
are
that's
much
good.
better.
That's good. But the leg part there doesn't disturb you.
No, it
Oh,
doesn't
then it's
disturb
okay.
me.
It means it's not so bad.
It doesn't
Yes.
disturb me. It's only when I'm standing or whatever, I can
Yeah,
feel the
when you
discomfort.
exert pressure or what, then of course, there are a lot of nerves there.
Yeah, that's why, bro, like, you know, your meditations, when you walk, you say the whole body here, pull, there, pull. People like us, remember this Adeline in Cameron Highland, when she
Yeah,
said she was walking, she can know all the part of the body is. So,
Because
bro,
that
only.
mindfulness become like enhanced, sensitive. Then that your whole body is together with your awareness. That's why it's like your whole movement and the awareness is one. Then you become very different. Your heightened awareness make you very sensitive. That every part within you, like, you can understand what is going inside there. What are the
Yeah.
activity that is happening inside there? Then you can detect whatever abnormality within your form and mind. You can know it. So all
Yeah.
this is possible. So
Yeah,
for
so
you,
for them, they using mindfulness to track all this. Well, for me, immediately after the procedures, I was limping. Then only I know when actually I walk, that part of my leg is actually affected because I feel. So I'm not through awareness, but through the ups only, the wound there when I walk. Then only I know that part actually is moving when I walk.
Definitely. Every part of your body, you got tissue and cell and nerves. So they will feel it. They will feel it. But when you are healthy, normal, normally they perform their function. But when you have a wound, an injury, of course, Because they have to do something to that part, especially you go through the operation or those things. If they do it well, they clean it out well, then the healing will be quite fast. Yeah. Like when I was having my fistula operation that time, I got three, but the doctor did it very well, very clean. I can feel it after that. Of course, I also did my part, the cleaning and the salt water that he asked me to soak in. Instead of usual half an hour or what, I do at least 45 minutes to 1 hour. Then I feel very good. After that, I feel very good. Then I start to feel that I'm recovering. Then I went to US. By the time I come back, it's almost 90% completely healed. That's why after that, I got no more problem. So you will feel it and you will understand. That's why I asked you the question, when you meditate, does it affect you? What you describe is good in the sense that it doesn't affect you. Only when you start to stand, put pressure on it or walk, while healing is like that. But you need to adjust, like what you mentioned. Avoid exercising the leg vigorously now where it hasn't healed. But some form of light, what we call movement, is good so that it can help you in the recovery. You cannot be like in a completely rest state. Some light movement or exercise.
Yes, yes. Roger, like walking in the house is bearable.
Then you should try to walk.
Yeah, I do. In the house. La. So,
You monitor it. Where you have tried the hemopathy. So, first day, maybe monitor it. Then, based on what you described, I think you should recover. Then you do your ask for forgiveness and your routine. With the faith, I think you should recover. You should recover. Not a problem.
Thanks.
Do you have any other question regarding today's topic or sharing?
No, but today the sharing is I cannot muscle.
Oh, never mind.
About the purification of mind.
Seven stages of purification.
I think I'm totally, I cannot, really cannot follow on that one.
Yeah.
Purification of.
You have not gone into the mindfulness training, you have not developed it. So that three phases of purification, how it actually transforms, you may not have much idea. That's why purification of sila, when you develop the mindfulness to actually contemplate, reflect, and just do it, the first stage can be seen. Because the first stage is relatively easy. Like, sila means you must have the essential dhamma to understand why the Buddha advised you to avoid all evil. So to avoid all evil, you have to go through the sila part. That's why sila is described in such a way, I undertake the training rule to abstain from something. So like panatipata is abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living being. Because this has karmic consequence. So if I abstain, means I avoid the karmic negativity. It means greed, hatred, and delusion is to be avoided and can be avoided. Then after that training rule, you need to develop sensitivity of mindfulness to understand what constitutes evil. Then the meaning of that loba, greed, is very deep. Then you can actually expand on it. And that is the first stage. That way you can keep your precept ready. You move on to the second stage, which is purification of content of consciousness. Means your mental intention within your mind state. So every moment of sense experience bestir our mind. So how can we not stir our mind? That's why we have to go to the third way. Then later on the fourth way, to develop the wisdom to straighten our view, which is the third sila, ditti visuddhi. But before you straighten your view, is the third way where you develop awareness to be with the mind state. Then you realize the moment you are aware, it ceases. Means all these mind states are not inherent within your nature. They are dependent originating mind state, which is following the paticca samuppada. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Then vijnanam paccaya namarup. Namarup is the mental intention go in already, the content of consciousness went in already. That's why it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. Then your mental intention, your whatever mind state within the mental intention that stir your mind and cause it to react, surface. That's how you got like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's why at the moment of sense experience, cultivator of the way and living being, they stir their mind is because they cannot be in a state of equanimity. They cannot have the unisoma manaskara or wisdom at the moment of sense experience to bring about an understanding to allow them to be at peace. Means you no longer need to stir your mind. The world is the world, people is just the way they are. So through this training of mindfulness and awareness, you develop the understanding. Then only the fourth way, retrospectively reverse it to wisdom. That one will lead to transformation of your understanding. That is how from sila visuddhi you move on to citta visuddhi. Then from citta visuddhi, you root it out through ditti visuddhi, purification of views. So that one, you need to go through mindfulness training to develop the understanding. And then, of course, the other purification also need you to move into the higher cultivation. So at the moment, you cannot follow never mind. Means you have not developed the understanding yet.
Yeah, I know there are those important pointer, but I can't.
Never mind, it's okay. Develop your daily mindfulness first, look after your physical issue. I wouldn't call it a problem. Your leg issue, get it resolved. Develop the training later. Then you can discuss with maybe Song, Alicia, Manyuan, they all. Then even PG, when she come back. All this Dhamma discussion can bring about understanding where they might have gone through. Then they can share with you how they do it and how they develop the understanding. You all are very close together with Chin Hao, they all.
Thanks, Brother Teo.
No problem. You got any more questions?
No, not at this moment, yeah. Brother Teo. Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Yeah. Teo, and all Kalamitas. Actually, Brother Teo, today's talk is very good.
Yeah, you can understand because you have developed the cultivation. That's why you will find it very useful. Very good. It's very clear in the explanation. Yeah.
It's very clear, the explanation. For us Kalamitas, I think the first one, the purification of sila, is not much of an issue.
Basic essential Dhamma you understand. Then from there, you know how to undertake the training rule. That is the beginning of having mindfulness. But before that, you need to understand what constitutes evil, then expand on it. Then from there, you go into the cultivation. That's why from sila to understanding, you mature into citta, the content of consciousness. That one, we need the third way and the fourth way. So the
that, first that one
sila,
is a bit tricky, Radio.
Yeah, definitely. That's why for those who have the mindfulness training and the cultivation, you all will find it very useful. It's very clear, very systematic. And the way it's explained, it develops the clarity of cultivation. Otherwise, very few people understand what these three things is, where they think is the same. No. When you have the understanding, you know sila visuddhi is just the sila part, which is the morality part. That training don't really develop the high level of wisdom yet. The high level of wisdom come to the citta visuddhi and finally ditti visuddhi, where your mindfulness really go in to let you understand the content of consciousness, its movement and its activity. Then how your mind transform later on where the unisoul manasikara stabilize, your contemplative wisdom, your direct seeing, your third way where you silence your mind and see that all this mind state that is the result of your mental stirring and reaction born of wrong view, how it actually caused you to be what you are. And then from there, you realize that they are not intrinsic. They are conditioned arising mind state, dependent orienting, because of your wrong view, your wrong thought, your wrong understanding. Then it stirs, it comes about. Then through this, you develop the realization that if they are not intrinsic, it means they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. It means these are sankhara activity that arise and pass away based on causes and condition. It's not intrinsic. It means fear is not me, anger is not me. Envy, jealousy, all this negativity or mind state or positive craving, they are not you. If they are not me, then why do I worry about it? Why do I have to fight it, suppress it, control it, no need? I just let it be. Develop the wisdom to transform so that I will not stir and react like before, so that I straighten my view. So the third way is to understand that it is impermanent, dependent originating, not intrinsic. I mean, it was never you. These are mind states, sankhara activity from the true nature is stir and immove. That's why it is mind make. The Buddha call it mano. Mind make are they. That's why that creation, mundane thinking or activity, is the mundane mind. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. From mind, all things arise. So this will connect you to all the essential Dhamma and let you understand how the teaching comes to be. Then when you understand already, there is a lot of joy. Then you know there is the pure awareness nature, which is the primordial nature. It is just the awareness. Then from there, all things arise, the mundane mind, everything, the stirring, the reaction, the whatever manifestation through sankhara activity. That's why the Buddha used the word mai make ade, means they are not real, not a permanent unchanging entity. They are all dependent originating, conditioned arising entity. That's why the paticca samuppada, the third right view come to be. Then you start to see everything is within the conditioned world. They are all conditioned arising phenomena. not a permanent unchanging entity. And then the universal characteristic starts to arise. Based, like the Buddha say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. Where we live in a conditioned world, dependent on condition, it arises. So, causal phenomena, condition arising phenomena. So, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So, these causes and conditions is what the phenomenal world is all about. That's why in the Diamond Sutta is mentioned, each year you wafa, means everything within the conditioned world is condition arising, cause of phenomena. And it has to be this way. That's why there are duality, there are concept, there are idea, words, everything within the conditioned world. So all this pertain to the conditioned world, the right and wrong, the good and bad, the Dhamma, everything. But within the conditioned world, you have this. But when you realize the unconditioned, all this is, and it doesn't exist within the unconditioned. And then you realize the unconditioned Dhamma, means the unconditioned Dhamma wisdom will prevent you from being deluded or deceived by the conditioned world's Dhamma. Where the conditioned world's Dhamma is as real as it can be. It exists within the conditioned world, but they are not real, not you, empty. That's why empty nature or existence, where they are impermanent. They come and they go, cease, finish. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. Where is the reality? It's just like I said, the only reality is the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? Split second is the end gone. Split second is the end. And that's the only reality. So how real can life be? That's why all this wisdom, when you connect them, then you realize within the conditioned, the conditioned world, there are all these things happening. But within the unconditioned, you realize they are all impermanent, lead to suffering. That's why empty, no reality. He no you, he no me. So all this will give rise to the unconditioned Dhamma wisdom that prevent you from deluded or deceived by the conditioned world's Dhamma. And this conditioned world's Dhamma is, even though it's not so real, but it exists within the condition. It's within life. That's why you can live life, be part of life, and not be affected by what happened. Then you know the law that governs life and existence within the condition world, like the law of karma, all those things, and the form and mind is subject to it. But the form and mind is not a permanent, unchanging entity, not you. All this understanding, you will have them. That's how the wisdom develops. And that's how you transform and become very different. That is the uniqueness and beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. So very good. PG, you continue. Yeah. Because you can understand.
Thank you very much for explaining again. As we can understand the Dhamma, we can actually see how wise the Buddha is. Be that's able to, teach about the condition and the unconditioned world. It's not something that everybody can think of.
It's beyond thought on, beyond mind. Without the awareness nature, you cannot see all this one. You cannot comprehend all this one.
Even for the conditioned Dhamma, Virtue,
it's not easy to understand.
It takes us so long to understand.
That's why without the cultivator, the way, the great beings, actually it's not easy on. This type of teaching, you cannot find on. Why you all used to go through or experience the type of theoretical Dhamma or what they call normally accepted teaching, they actually are not penetrative enough, not ultimate enough, cannot actually bring forth the understanding to transform the living being. Well, most of them, I was told, the feedback to me is, but you're not easy to do lah. We discuss it, we talk about it, we understand, but when it comes to reality of life and existence, when we are confronted with it, when we are being tormented by it, is it not easy? And most people cannot actually confront them and really go beyond and succeeded in the understanding to be free and not afflicted by it. So that part, because the real teaching not there. When you have the real teaching, it doesn't affect you at all. You will come to understand this is what the conditioned world is. The reality is really like that. Condition already set. It has to go this way. That's why I keep on telling my children, you cannot go against what is the reality. The reality is, this is what is happening. Accept and move. Then do the best you can to resolve things amicably. Then we know how to avoid all those unnecessary karmic negativity that can trigger off the karmic conditioning into the future. Yeah. Even though not so real, not what we think, but there is such thing as life, existence. There is such thing as the law of karma. There is such thing as the unconditioned Dhamma, the wisdom. So all this need to be cultivated, developed as understanding. Then with both the unconditioned Dhamma and conditioned Dhamma, we can understand life and truly live life to the fullest. That's how the Mahayana teaching, the Supreme Vehicle teaching, become beautiful. True emptiness is wonderful existence. And this is talking about life, existence. And life or existence become meaningful and wonderful. Once you comprehend this and have a clear understanding of both the conditioned and the unconditioned Dhamma. And this teaching is very difficult to come by. Yeah. Even now you read the Mahayana Dhamma book, they cannot explain until this level of clarity about the unconditioned and the conditioned. Most of them teach you only the what they call the Dhamma aspect, but they cannot link to the whole of the existential teaching to life, to existence, to the unconditioned Dhamma and conditioned Dhamma. To have that, that person has to be a true cultivator who has gone through the Bodhisattva way. Otherwise, they cannot understand and they cannot teach. Okay, you continue. Yeah, PJ. Yeah.
Yeah, Bracho. For me, acceptance of what is actually the hard truth. But if we do not have the understanding of the Dhamma, it is actually very difficult to accept.
Yeah. It's very difficult to have that understanding, to live it. But for you and most Kayamita, you all have developed the understanding much better already than before. That's why you all can confront it much better. Even just now in the Heart Sutta sharing, the lady that report, she can go through all those all. Means she has developed the cultivation, the acceptance and all those things. Yeah. Means she can actually see it and the mind state has become so different. And she can really explain even in the reporting that nowadays her mind does not stir like before, does not react, able to come to term with whatever that happened. And the mind has become so different. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more panic attack at all, no more. Like you said, the reality, you can come to terms with it. But that is the most important. But that is the truth. Understand? No matter what you do, you cannot change what is. But what is the reality. Condition like that. Things has to be like that. It cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. That's what dukkha is all about. Yeah. The grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, is dukkha. So the grasping aggregate is the result of non-acceptance. That's why it corrupts. It wants things their way, which is not allowable by nature's way. So all this, you can start to develop the clear stability of understanding and connect them all. Then your life become different. Then as you progress, as you stabilize all this understanding, finally one day you will come to know the whole of the secret of life has been understood. Means nothing in this world can cause you misery anymore, or suffering anymore, or fear, or worry, or anxiety. Well, you will come to know the deep reality and understanding. He know you, he know me. Not what you think. Because everything is just, like we say, a phenomenal world of consciousness and form. They come and they go. And they are all dependent, originating entity, no reality. That's why no permanent, unchanging entity, nothing for you to grasp onto, cling onto, and hold onto. Because every form of mind that arises must come to pass. So how can it be you? If it cannot be you, means every form of mind goes the way of nature, it's the same. But there is such thing as life, there is such thing as memory, there is such thing as creation. So all this complicates the understanding. That's why living beings who don't have the true penetrative Dhamma understanding cannot comprehend all this. To them it's like based on the thought process, the logic and the thinking and the, what they call analysis. They cannot understand. That's why they come up with a lot of idea, a lot of views, opinion, argument, and all those things. And the world cannot come to terms with each other. Well, everybody has their own way of looking at things. Yeah. Then they end up in their own philosophy, yeah. The way they believe is the truth, and what you think is your own views, your opinion, not the real truth. The real truth is the reality within nature, suchness. Every moment is manifesting, and that is the truth. That's why I see things as they are. Thing is just the way it is, the isness of thing. So to penetrate all this, is to stabilize your understanding and penetrate the Dhamma so that all this understanding become clear, crystal clear to the cultivator of the way. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, Pichi. Sadhu. Yeah,
Virtue. To me, it's like this sentence always is very profound to me. Whatever that arises, there are always causes and consequences.
Sadhu, if you can understand that, means you have the understanding already.
It is such an important statement.
Yeah.
Especially
when
you see
the understanding behind that statement, means you can actually break free already. That's why when the Buddha say it many times to many of his disciples, he told Ananda many times, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And a lot who came to him, he also explained. Of course, he used the other word, jnana dasana, to see things as they are. Then, condition like that, things will be like that. But that one, I add in on it. Because what the Buddha says is, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. He just said that. And with that, that venerable Asaji developed awakening. Then when he repeated the same to Sariputta, Sariputta also developed awakening. He became a Sotapan straight away. So based on that sentence alone, based on what you have gone through, you can understand it. You can also awaken to the first stage of sainthood, no problem. But that statement itself points towards that understanding. That's why in the early day when I share with you all, well, later on when I decide to come out and share, when I read that stanza that Asaji told Sariputta, I told myself, that's it. Anybody who understands, the moment they hear that, they awaken. Yeah. At that time, I also can understand. Yeah. So all these are the real penetrative Dhamma. When you have the understanding, you awaken, you penetrate. Yeah. Very good, Fiji. You can have the understanding which is based on what you explained, very stable. It's good enough. You have penetrated. Mm. Because otherwise that statement doesn't stand out one.
To me, it is so clear about it.
Yeah. Most Kayamita can penetrate that already.
Especially in these days of technology, Bertil, we are surrounded by so much news, and it's just like every day there are not so good news everywhere.
Yeah. You know, in fact, all over the world.
Especially if we are in, you follow like, how to say, politics and all this.
Yeah.
It can be quite disheartening if you
definitely
cannot accept.
If you don't have the Dhamma.
Yeah.
That's why especially when I first met the few Singaporeans, I remember the first day I went down and met the latest one, the three of them. I think, what is his name already? I forgot already. Ming Fei is the first one. Then after that, he always come with Ming Fei or what is it? Fetch us one. Kong Chai. Then there's another one, Michael, I think. These three of them, when I met them, actually they are very good. Then they also know Malaysian politics, very thorough. So they talk about it. Then I explain to them. I say, don't worry. I say, the collective consciousness, they will evolve the way it is. Condition like that, things will like that. Then finally, it will come to pass. And then after that, they understand what I say. That's why you don't have to go and like worry. Then a lot of them say, ayo, like that, how to stay in Malaysia? Everybody want to migrate. No need one, because thing is just the way it is. And you have the understanding, not so real, not what you think. And the consciousness, you can sense it, it is evolving for the better. And things are really transforming. That's why after that, I think they start to see what is happening. And they start to develop the understanding. All this will become clear. And what you share is very good. Based on the present, our civilization's social media, news, and all those things. Every moment, every instant, like you say, a lot of negativity of news happening, even local, overseas, or all over the world. So if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you cannot cope. You will be affected. And most of the time you can hear them when you go for dinner or whatever. Manyuan want to share. Afterward, please give me 5 minutes. Now, okay, Manyuan got something to share. Okay, I let PG continue first.
Yeah, but you see, like... just what is happening in the Middle East.
Ah, yeah.
You know, like from Palestine, we almost to Lebanon. From Lebanon, now it has gone to Syria.
Yeah.
Like if we don't have the Dharma, we'll start to worry.
Yeah. What is happening to the world and all those things? Then the Ukraine war. Now with Trump coming in and all those things.
So if you don't have that type of understanding, your mind will stir and unnecessary anxiety and all that.
Fear, worry, anxiety.
All you have to do is you look at Facebook and you look at all the comments.
The social media.
My only advice to people who participate in Facebook has always been, if you have nothing good to say, please keep it to yourself.
Don't invite all these
unnecessary things. Because I see a lot of people get so stirred up.
And
you know, the way they talk is like, I don't give a damn lah. You know, I want to share what I think is right. Of course, we can't blame people because emotionally involved and all this. Especially if you have family staying there and all this. But learning the Dharma, we tend to see things slightly different.
Of course,
we are fortunate to be living in a country that is at least peaceful, you know?
And
still cari makan.
Correct. That is the great blessing. Because we are not affected by all these things. You know? That's why we are like very lucky. Even like the recent flood, of course now retreated, condition has improved. When I was back in Alostra for my classmate's wedding, that night at the wedding, it was raining, but not affecting anybody, no flood, nothing. But immediately after that, the next morning, I was supposed to take a flight back. The tide start to come out, the flood, everything happened. Then I was lucky because my flight got canceled because airport also flooded. So my brother, the next day is supposed to fly down to PJ and stay my place, then take a flight to Shenzhen. Then they realized their flight also cancelled. So we decide to drive down. Immediately after I drive down, the next morning, the whole Alostra city and town flooded. Then I told my wife, we're so fortunate we stay in PJ high ground. We never have such problem. So, like you say, very blessed, because to stay here in Malaysia is already very blessed. Then, of course, the minor flood is nothing compared to what people experience over the Middle East. And even in certain places like Ukraine and others, even US is not safe. Everywhere shooting and all those things. Very good, PJ.
Before I give the mic over to Anyan, I would like to say something about purification of your mind.
Sadhu, that one is very useful.
That is something that is very important, especially to be able to see our mental intention, Gratio. Gratio always teach us that mental intention will lead to karmic consequences.
Yes. And, it's chitena that I call karma. The Buddha always used that. Chitena, mental intention.
Because a lot of times we get emotionally involved and then we just say things without even... Before you know, the tongue is always faster.
And
the brain, you know.
The
thing just shoot up very fast and all
Correct.
This is something we really have to work on. Because this is one of the, to me, is getting very essential that we see this and to learn from this.
Yeah, but these are habitual tendency which has developed into anusaya and also asaba. Initially, it's just kilesa, but then it become a habit. Then it become like very strong. Then it transform into asaba. And anusaya means latent tendency and a very strong type of evil root that is ever willing to shoot out. That's why it's called asava. Like you say, the mental intention, because they have reflected and contemplated like a cocoon of thought, on they think and plan and scheme. Then condition only, like machine gun, they shoot out non-stop. And sometimes they can be so harsh in the way they speak, to anger, hatred, and aggressiveness, everything manifests. That's why as a cultivator, we will understand all this, because we saw and we see, that's how we root out habitual tendency. That's how we root out all this wrong view, wrong understanding. And we know how to develop the understanding to love ourselves, not to allow our form and mind to be afflicted, to be entangled in all this, what they call karmic negativity. That's why you will reach a point where the sense restraint becomes so stable. It cannot break the precept, it cannot violate, it cannot stir and react and do all those things. And this is what cultivation is all about. All this will become clear to the cultivator. Very good, Vijay, Sadhu.
Radio, not stable enough, lah. I can see the.
At least you see all this
means, the thing coming up, but I still let it go.
But this is the beginning, and the transformation process is happening, because to see is the first thing. Then to understand and stabilize the understanding so that it will not stir again is the subsequent cultivation, which will happen. Because this is how cultivator of the way will progress. That I say, to understand the significance of the statement that the Buddha say is a very powerful beginning. Then after that, to see the mental intention like you came to realize is very important. Then from there, you nip it. You develop the stability or understanding to actually reverse or straighten your view, so that it will not stir anymore, so that it will not arise and become what it is like before. So all these are understanding that can happen. Very good, Sadhu.
With this, I would like to end. And again, I would like to thank Bratio, as always, for your dedication in teaching the Dharma to all of us,
Sadhu,
and your patience too.
Sadhu. Okay, Manjan, you can come in.
Radio, Sadhu, Fiji, Radio. I just share this because I felt yesterday after this, listen to this talk. Yesterday, I felt that there was a lot of Dharma happening.
Yeah,
you feel that? Yeah.
Yes.
I just focus on one, so that, you know, it might help Polian.
Yeah, Polian, Chiu Polian.
Because when I see her and listen to her, also I feel. But yesterday, for the others who didn't know, yesterday the Kayu Nasi Kanda restaurant.
50 years anniversary.
So they invited the public to go, and they invited everyone to go. It was a makan. It just happened that Chiu Poling came, you know, and then
with a friend.
So it for me, I was thinking, what a coincidence.
Exactly at the time when I and my wife was also there. We arrived almost the same time. She met me there, and Man Yuan was kind enough to ask her brother and she herself to book 2 seats for us. So when we were there, it was such a coincidence. That's why Man Yuan knew, she saw the sign, and she was full of joy. And we were also full of joy. You know why? Because me and my wife no need to do anything. We sit on the seat, then they go and take all the drinks and the makan for us.
Actually, I come here, I will not be eating anything. She cannot eat anything. But yes, she came, you know. Right point of time. And then when I returned back to the table after taking the food, I saw she had already taken so many things.
On my table. A lot of drinks, satay, chandoy, and all the drinks. Then later on roti canai also. Then the kambing, the mutton. The mutton was very well done that day.
Like she had handled everything already.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's why she doesn't look like her leg is having problem.
Then now I understand. Maybe I don't know. I just want to invoke the power of her wholesomeness
so that for her.
Sadhu.
Very good. So, Chupalian, you should rejoice and thank Manyuan for developing the understanding to help. Good. Chupalian also wrote something. Is it real coincidence? I enter from another end and find my friend. Then I walk all the way until I saw all of you. That's why when it's meant to be, condition will arise and things will happen. It is the timing. You cannot believe. At first, Manyuan thought we planned together. Then when she realized and I realized that Chupalian came herself, I also thought Manyuan must have contacted Chupalian and meet us there. But no, actually, separately, because of their causes and conditions, it just happened. That's why when thing is supposed to be, it will be one. And nature is such, my nature, when things need to unfold, things will unfold. And like I go there, I don't need to do anything. Then people will do all the thing for me. Then the people sitting next to us also very friendly. There was one family, three of them, I think. One of them was the husband, the wife. Then in between was the son, I think. So what happened was, while we were eating, I accidentally, actually, my arm touches his arm. And you know what happened? He was eating this nasi kandar, the chicken, with the curry. Then the curry like spill a bit and kena the eye there. So because of that, he like tried to use his hand to wipe. So the wife knew, He said, "What happened?" He said, "Oh, but quite fierce in the voice. He like want to blame me or what?" But before I explained, the husband said, "No, nothing happened." Then later on, I tell the wife, actually my mistake. My elbow knocked him. Then he said, "Then how can he clean with the hand?" I said, "Don't worry, I got wet tissue." So my wife brought out the wet tissue and passed over. And actually his wife also has. Then later on the husband said, no, nothing. He said, "No fault of me." He said, he just need to go to the basin there and clean up. But then later on, he walked away. They were very friendly. Then later on, Chupalian came. That seat, which supposed to be the husband, he also willing to let Chupalian sit next to me. So all this like meant to be. Chupalian, now you can continue. 2 minutes. Alicia, 1-2 minutes. Okay, Alicia, you continue.
Thank you.
Yeah.
我想分享一下那个我的 friend 的一个 wound 的 problem, so that
Chupalian
可以 develop understanding.
沙杜。
你知道梁尚那个 Macau 的齁
我知道梁尚。
对到他最近去做了一个手术就关于他的那个I think 他的胆还是什么。然后他的伤口一直不会复原因为他没有休息他每天去上班。
哦，那完
了。一出来就去上班，
所以
他部分就一直不会，
不会愈了，
不会愈合。Then after that，我就问我的女儿，因为她是医生嘛，我就问她，
yeah.
那个伤口，为什么那个医院一直不要跟她缝回去？她就告诉我妈，这个伤口不可以这样处理的， 伤口，因为上面那层只是上面，那一面那层还有里面那一层。如果你里面那一层没有愈合的话，你缝上面也没有用，因为你里面还没有那些不好的东西还没有
啊，对，还没有处理好，
所以我就心想 maybe 就不能要去把
它 same situation,
对对，因为你上面就算你上面愈合，你下面如果那个没有真正的切除哦，它就是不会断根，我的意思可能。所以我想 maybe 邱婆莲真的应该去看一下那个，因为那天我们也有听这么样讲，阿菲利也讲，他说这个应该是不能再拖这么久了，因为六个月是相当久的一个时间，
蛮久的了
所以我只是想跟婆莲分享这个问题哈，所以感恩啊，阿弥陀佛，
感恩阿弥陀佛，very good， 杀掉，so 邱婆莲啊。Make a note of what Alicia.
Alicia, thanks for telling me. I also feel that it's growing deep inside also.
So you need to monitor it. But from the way you describe, I think not so bad. Except maybe don't aggravate it too much.
I can feel the deep down like the roots is growing.
Maybe you monitor it. Try out the
homotherapy.
I don't know how to pronounce that word. So give it a try, then monitor it, then see how it goes. You need really to see a proper doctor orthopedic to get it done up. Maybe that is a better way.
Thanks,
anything?
Alicia, for telling me this.
That's all. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu. We are exactly 6 o'clock. Then let us share merits. Akka Satta Che Vumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana.Ita wata camihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyoIdang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo wasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca Fito bawatu loko ca Raja bawatu damiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamoSatang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones, and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.